Now, it could be another day of drama at Stormont as MLAs gather on the Finance Committee to discuss the fallout of the Jamie Bryson Nama scandal. Now, Sinn Féin's MLA, or Sinn Féin MLA, Dahi Mackay, he resigned after it emerged he was involved in coaching the Loyalist blogger before he gave evidence as a committee at a committee meeting looking in, indeed, to the Nama scandal. And yesterday, you may have heard on UTV Live, the Finance Minister, Martin O'Mullier, denying having any knowledge of what was going on. But the DUP, they aren't convinced. So, indeed, what should the next step be? And what may come out of all of this? Do the MLAs actually need a new code of conduct to try to stop this type of thing happening again? Let me speak to a man who knows all about the workings of the Assembly. He's a former politician. He's now a political commentator. And it's Albin McGuinness. Albin McGuinness, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Delighted to be on the show.
Thank you very much for joining us, Albin. You're writing about these things in the papers as well. How do you see today panning out?
Well, I think it's a very important day for the Assembly and the Finance Committee in particular. They have to make their minds up as to whether or not there should be an investigation by that committee into what has happened. I think the consensus of opinion would be, yes, there must be some investigation. But how to carry it out, that is, I suppose, the big question. But they're quite apart from an investigation into the particular facts and circumstances surrounding the Dathigate affair, I think it is necessary for the committee also to reflect on the way, in fact, MLAs and committees will deal with future witnesses and what sort of conduct or code of conduct might be introduced in order to advise and to guide MLAs as to how to deal with witnesses. I was a chair of two committees in Stormont. One was the Regional Development Committee and the other was the Enterprise Trade and Investment Committee. And I have to say that those committees conducted themselves very well. But in relation to witnesses, apart from reassuring a witness before they went in, and that was by way of a little joke or some sort of encouragement if you thought people felt too nervous or whatever, apart from that, you wouldn't have had any direct contact with witnesses. That was always left up to the clerk. So there's a lot of thinking to be done, and I think today's meeting could be crucial in relation to setting down a new set of parameters as to how MLAs can, in fact, deal in the future with witnesses coming to committees. And could I say, Frank, also that we're not just simply dealing with the ordinary run-of-the-mill hearings and a Stormont committee. What the Finance Committee were doing, they were exercising their powers of investigation. In other words, they set up an inquiry. Now, an inquiry is very similar to a court of law because it has extensive powers. It can call for witnesses. It can demand a witness to attend. It can also demand that a witness brings papers and documentation with them to be presented to the committee. And in a way, you know, the committee was acting like a court of law. And the chairman of the committee was almost like a judge. So in those circumstances, the committee had to act with absolute integrity. The chairman had to act with absolute integrity. And I'm afraid in the case of the latter, that did not happen.
Would you like to see a situation, or is it possible indeed in the very near future, there will be a situation where it'll be as tight as it would be in the courts? And I'll let you answer that just after I tell people the Thiepval Road in Lisburn, close to Bow Street Mall, there are significant delays there in the city centre. There's been a crash there, and Lisburn in that area is at an absolute standstill. A number of people have been in touch with us. If you could avoid it, you'd be well advised. But Albin, just to get back to the point that I'm asking, would you like to see it as strict as the courtroom situation, which you're very familiar with as a barrister?
No, I wouldn't like to see it like that. My analogy, of course, was with a court. And I suppose what I was trying to suggest to you and to your listeners was this, that with that tremendous power that a judge has got goes responsibilities. And with the power that the chairman of a committee conducting an inquiry, with that power also goes grave responsibilities. And I think that it would be common sense for a chairman of a committee to say, well, I must act here with absolute fairness, in a situation where I am dealing with people's reputations, when I'm dealing with very serious matters concerning public finances, that I must be extremely careful and I must show absolute integrity and absolute fairness. So, no, I wouldn't want it to become like a courtroom, and it shouldn't be, because politicians are politicians and they'll be asking political questions, and the witnesses should not have to undergo the same sort of strictures that witnesses in a court of law would have to undergo. But bear in mind all the time that the power of a committee in such circumstances is very similar to the power of a court, and therefore you have to exercise those powers with extreme caution. And of course, in this instance, it was a wee bit like a judge talking to a witness before a trial. And any listener would come to the conclusion that that would be absolutely wrong. And I don't think that a code of conduct, in a sense, would have to indicate that to any sensible, commonsensical chair of a committee. But unfortunately, in these circumstances, I think standards were breached, and we will, as a body politic, I think it's important that the Assembly looks at all this again and draws up some code of conduct in relation to witnesses, particularly for chairpersons who are dealing with the overall governance of an inquiry.
So if I was giving some form of testimony at a committee in Stormont, and my local MLA was the chair of the committee, to give him a ring the afternoon before, or to drop by his constituency office and say to him, you know, what am I going to face here? What I'm feeling a bit nervous about this. I'm apprehensive. I'm in a different environment. What's your advice to me? Do you think that'll be completely ruled out in the future?
That wouldn't be completely ruled out in this sense, that if somebody was just simply seeking reassurance about procedures or something of that matter. But in terms of a point of substance in relation to the testimony, which effectively you're giving to the committee, there could be no discussion about that. That would be completely beyond acceptability in relation to the way an inquiry should be conducted. But if somebody said, look, Alban, you're the chair of this committee, can I talk to you about how it's going to proceed? I would say, yes, I can tell you, you will have 10 minutes. You'll have to make your points strongly because your time is limited. You have to speak up. You will have to accept questions from members of the committee, all that sort of thing. But that would be purely procedural and in a way just to reassure the witness that they would be looked after and that it would not be an ordeal in the sense that they would be terrified by what was going to happen.
But how to structure your content, that would be a no-no.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, I mean, I've talked to witnesses before committee hearings simply to reassure them, you know, look, you'll be on in 5 minutes, but I would put them at their ease so that they would give their evidence in a straightforward fashion without being too nervous about it. But I wouldn't go beyond that point because that certainly would be interference with a witness. Particularly in relation to an inquiry. And I do make that distinction because, you get lots of witnesses coming to the committees dealing with ordinary things that affect the committee's business or remit, and in those circumstances it's less pressured. But even in those situations, you wouldn't be talking to witnesses and saying, what about this point or what about that point, or don't say this or do say that. So I would have thought that all of this is common sense, because you have to preserve the integrity of the committee, and you have to give a person a fair hearing. And if they're talking about other people, you have to give those other people fairness as well, because you're dealing with people's public reputations. And if you damage a person's reputation, it's very difficult to repair that damage.
Alban McGuinness, thanks very much for coming on. Thank you.
Not at all, Frank.
That's the former politician, political commentator, Alban McGuinness.